Welcome to a recording of Titusville Free Methodist Church, a community planted in the forgiveness, freedom, and fullness of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your interest and pray that you are blessed as you listen to this relevant word.
So, Christmas is over. It mostly is, though, because I've already unwrapped every present that I had. And like, we have reason to celebrate this morning. Hopefully Christmas being over isn't your reason to celebrate this morning. But Christmas happened. And I think that we have a lot of reason to celebrate because it happened. Some of you had off work all week. Some of you didn't. Some of you went back. Some of us went back on Thursday. Some of you are dreading to go back to the office on Monday. Some of you are sad that Christmas is over. Some of you are still holding on to this 12 days of Christmas idea. some of you have spent the last 2 months shopping and preparing and planning and getting ready and building up for the holiday that we had on Wednesday. And you were wrapping and decorating and eating. And some of you went home after your family Christmas dinner on Wednesday and you sat down in your recliner and had the same thought that we all have at about that time, like nap time. Or maybe like now what, right? So we have all this anticipation, all this time, it all builds to something. Our houses explode on Christmas morning with wrapping paper and tape flying everywhere. And then we get to about 4 or 5 in the afternoon on Christmas, and we start to get to the now what. And so after Christmas, we have so much to do, so where do we begin? And so I think we're going to talk about a guy named Simeon this morning. We're going to talk about Simeon's song as the last of our Songs of Christmas series. And I think that Simeon's song has answers for us after realizing the importance and the significance of Christmas. I think that he has a path forward for us on the now what. And so let's just talk about Simeon. I'm not exactly going to read our scripture passage this morning, but we're going to be hanging out in Luke chapter 2 all morning. So if you might want to turn there and be able to follow along and like make sure that I'm not pulling stuff out of thin air. So we'll be in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 25, and we'll go through like verse 38 or so. But let's just think about Simeon. So Simeon was a Jew, a righteous man who lived in Jerusalem. The Bible doesn't tell us very much about Simeon. Like, he wasn't a priest or a prophet, as far as we know. He wasn't anyone of particular significance, in fact, we don't know what he did. This story isn't about Simeon. He was just a man. He was just a man who kept close counsel with the Holy Spirit. And so Simeon lived in Jerusalem. And he was an old man, at least by tradition he was an old man. Everyone knew him, and everyone would walk by and they would say, "What an upstanding guy, that Simeon. That Simeon, what a righteous man. That Simeon, he's just good, isn't he? What can I say? He's good." Simeon was known by everybody as a man who kept the commandments of God. The people who knew him a little better, they would say things like, Simeon, poor Simeon. Simeon has waited so long. But who is to say that the weeping of Israel is ever going to end? It's been hundreds of years since it's been forever since we've known freedom, since we've known any kind of consolation. So why should we know it now? Simeon keeps holding on, keeps waiting, but why? Poor Simeon is waiting for something that he's never going to see. But Simeon attended God closely. And Simeon was not like everyone. For Simeon, the Holy Spirit rested on his shoulders, And he knew God intimately. And God made Simeon a promise. And that promise was the anchor of Simeon's faith. It was the thing that held him on course. His heart. It was the reason that he was devout. It was the reason that he was admired by everyone around him. God made him a promise. God promised Simeon that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Messiah. And so it was that Simeon waited. And Simeon longed for the consolation of Israel. That's the language that the text uses, the consolation of Israel. That which would bring Israel's bitter tears to an end. He longed to see Israel consoled in spite of the pain that she had known. And so Simeon heard the voice of the Holy Spirit in this large thing, in this promise. But Simeon heard the voice of the Holy Spirit in the small things too. Day by day, he went where God directed him to go. And one day, God directed him to go to the temple. And so that's where Simeon went. He went to the temple courts, and when he was there, he was met by a young couple, a family, a woman and her husband and her young son. And the man introduced himself as Joseph and said, "This is my wife Mary and our son Jesus. And we want you to do what custom requires. We pray that you would dedicate our son." And the son was to be purified. And so there was going to be an offering of a couple of doves or a couple of young pigeons. And they would be made to wash him of any sin that he might have and to be consecrated to the Lord. This is where Jesus was going to be set apart. And so Simeon looked at the child. And as he took the child in his arms, he praised God. Like, I imagine him dancing and I imagine him jumping around in joy. Because something broke in Simeon. Something, the years of waiting and the years of learning, or the years of yearning for what God promised him, all came together in this one moment. And so, like, how do you not dance? How do you not dance when everything comes together and you finally see the picture? And so he dances, I think. And I know he sings. You can leave the dancing aside, but I know he sings. And his reason began to catch up. He said, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." That's a song. That's what Simeon sings in this moment of triumph for Simeon, this moment where he sees the plan of God come together and he sings, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." So this speech is remarkable. Unorthodox. maybe more than unorthodox. Mary and Joseph were bewildered at the things that this man said. Like, Mary was a virgin and gave birth to a kid. They'd seen it all at this point. they saw angels, and shepherds showed up on their doorstep while they were living in a stable in a manger because they were told, "God sent us here to see your child." Mary and Joseph had plenty to acclimate themselves to the unorthodox, but they heard Simeon's words and they were bewildered. They knew that their child was the Son of God, and he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and yet they marveled at what Simeon said about him. And Simeon blessed the child, but he wasn't done yet. He turned to Mary. He turned to Mary, who was a woman, who would not have been expected to have been spoken to at all here. But he didn't turn to Joseph, as we'd expect. The Bible includes these little details because sometimes, because there are things that we just don't expect. But that's what it says. It says he turns to Mary. And he turns to Mary and he says, This child is destined to be the cause of the rising and falling of many in Israel. And he is going to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul also. Mary and Joseph heard these things. And when Mary and Joseph heard these things, their Christmas wasn't over. Their Christmas, their beautiful nightmare Christmas, which promised incredible things and changed the trajectory of their lives forever. The one day that filled them with awe and dread and utter reliance on God. The Christmas wasn't over because Simeon recognized their son as soon as he saw them, and he knew what he would mean to the world. Simeon wasn't alone. There was a prophet, a woman named Anna, who was the daughter of Penuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was an old woman. She was a widow and had been a widow for many years. And it was no surprise that Anna was in the temple, because that's where she always was. She was always in the temple. When daylight came, Anna was in the temple worshiping. And when night came, Anna was in the temple worshiping, and she fasted and she prayed. And so Simeon's there, and Simeon has the child in his arms. And Simeon blesses the family, and Anna rushes over, and she gives thanks to God. And she spoke to anyone who was looking forward and waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Anybody that came to the temple longing for the redemption of the Jerusalem, Anna was there, because Anna had a story to tell them. Because God had revealed that redemption to her. So Mary and Joseph left, and their minds and their hearts were a little fuller than they were before. And so they returned to Nazareth to raise a son that would cause the rising and falling of many in Israel. And so it was that Simeon received his dismissal from God. The man who longed to see the consolation of Jerusalem received peace. But it was not the peace that he was looking for. It was not the peace that he expected. It was not the consolation that he expected, because it was not consolation that the child promised to Israel. And it was not even only for Israel. It was not what he expected at all. He spent his whole life longing for this, waiting for this moment, and he got it, and he received it in peace. But it was not what he expected. He told Mary that the child would come and he would become the cause for many in Israel to rise and to fall. Like, that does not sound consoling to me. His words would cause many to tremble, right? Because that child would be a sign that would be spoken against, and the thoughts and of the hearts would be revealed. Like, he told the child's mother that her own soul would be pierced on account of her love for her son. I wanted you to hear Simeon's story. Simeon was dismissed in peace. Simeon had fulfilled his purpose, and God had fulfilled his promise to Simeon. And Simeon left the world and felt peace as he did so, because he had seen salvation. Simeon experienced peace. He spent his life longing for peace for Israel, longing for consolation and peace for Israel. And he ended his life having peace for himself. And that's critical. So this is really important, because you long for peace too. You long for peace when you're at home and when the kids are being loud and you can't concentrate and you have 8 things that you need done and they're crying and maybe you're crying a little bit. And you long for peace when you're at work and all your coworkers are being catty and talking about you behind your back, and you're feeling a lot of pressure and you're feeling a lot of hurt, and you need the money, and The bills keep piling up, and your paycheck's gone before you know it, and you don't know what to do, and your family isn't getting along with each other, and you're stuck in the middle of it, and your friends just aren't as close as they used to be, and you feel frustrated, and you feel sad, and you just need a break from it all, and you just need a moment where things lift up, and you can breathe a little bit, and you long for peace. And so maybe it's not always quite so colorful as all that. But the little things pile on top of us, and the big things crush us, and we long for peace. And that's what the angels promised the shepherds, that peace had been born on earth. A peace who would display God's goodwill for men. And they said that because they knew that that's what the shepherds longed for too, because that's something that is common to everyone in this room and has been common to all humanity for all since the world was broken. We long for peace. And Simeon found it. Simeon found peace, and that should perk our ears up. We should pay attention because Simeon found the thing that our hearts long for. And so we want to notice some things from the story. First, I suppose, we have to talk about the fact that the peace that he found was not the peace that he expected. Like, Simeon was a good Jew. He was righteous, and he was devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation means the hope that God would come and comfort his people, rescue his people. And so he waited for God to come and to console his people, meaning Israel, his people. Come to save his people, meaning Israel. Consider the lyrics to Simeon's song, then. As a good Jew, he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Talking to God, "My eyes have seen your salvation, God." Clearly, God isn't the one being saved. So in what way is this God's salvation? It makes it clear that this salvation belongs to God. And it is for us. It does not belong to us, and so we don't get to decide what sort of salvation we might like. It's God's salvation, and it's a gift to us. God prepared it, and he made it clear to everyone that he was preparing it. But what is key is that it is a light. It's a salvation not just for God's people Israel. It will be the glory of God's people Israel. It will be the greatest thing that will ever have come out of God's people Israel. It will be the reason that Israel was created. Everything in Israel's past had brought them to this point where God would bring his salvation through them. This child is the glory of God's people Israel, but it's not just for him, for them. And Simeon recognized that in this moment, that it would be a light for all the nations, a salvation for all the nations. Simeon sees something that gives him peace, but it's not a typical consolation. It's not just God consoling his people Israel. And finally bringing them comfort after years of strife. In some ways, it's more of a consolation for everyone else. That God is for everyone else too. He is for the world, not just for Israel. The Messiah, God's Messiah, as it turns out, is much bigger than Simeon ever imagined. And even so, he's just a child. Like, let's not divorce this song from the person of Jesus, even as a child, because Simeon wasn't divorcing his song from the person of Jesus. Simeon had the person of Jesus in his arms and was clinging to him tightly, even as he said all of these words. He held Jesus in his hands as he said that he had seen the salvation of God. This consolation of Israel, it is a little disconcerting. Simeon turns to Mary with the child in his arms, and he promises more. He says, this child is destined to be the rising and the falling of many in Israel. Because Jesus doesn't just leave things as he finds them. He turns things over on end. The things that are high, he brings low. The things that are low, he brings high. The things that have been trampled and long forgotten, Jesus bends over and picks up and dusts off and elevates. Jesus is saving us from a world that is broken beyond imagining, broken so much that we can't even see all of the cracks, even in ourselves. And so he honors humility and he disdains pride. He is God's salvation. And God is saving us from a broken world that is crying out in pain. And things are out of order here. You feel that, don't you? Things are not in their right places. And that means some of us aren't in our right places either. And if you let that sink in, that can be scary. Because some of us are higher than we ought to be. And Jesus not leaving things the way that he finds them means that some of us are going to be brought lower than we want to be. Jesus is destined to be spoken against. He's a sign that is going to be spoken against. Jesus was destined to be opposed. And he was opposed. And he is opposed even now. Don't you feel it? Don't you feel the opposition to Jesus and this new kingdom that he spoke of? Isn't Jesus opposed by people that you know and love? Sometimes parts of you, parts of me, things that are inside of me oppose this new kingdom, because Jesus is a sign that was destined to be opposed, even since his birth. And the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Isn't that thought a little terrifying? Because you know the thoughts that you've had. Are you prepared for salvation from this world that is falling, even though it means salvation into a world where the dark thoughts of your hearts are brought into the light? That's what this salvation means. This salvation means that the thoughts that you've had, that you haven't had to share with anyone else, they will be drawn out. And then Mary, the mother of God, is promised that a sword would pierce her own soul. If the one who gave birth to the Son of God is vulnerable in this kingdom to pain, then I am too. Are you prepared for a salvation that comes at a cost? At this cost, at the cost of pain? It's not abnormal to tremble at the words of Simeon. What he promised when he turned to Mary, it could scare you. Maybe it does scare you. Maybe you're afraid of giving yourself over to Christ. Maybe you're afraid of committing yourself completely to this child, this king that would die and rise again, because actually you're doing pretty well. And you don't really want the position that you're in. Like, you don't want to risk everything that you've built. Maybe some of you are pretty comfortable, pretty well-liked, and have a lot of friends. And not all of those friends are so on board with the whole Jesus thing. And maybe you're afraid of how people will think about you and how people will talk about you if you give yourself over entirely to him. Maybe you don't want to be opposed the way that Jesus is opposed. And maybe you have had dark thoughts in your heart before. Maybe you have secrets. And maybe you have done wrongs. And you keep Jesus at an arm's length because you know that this is the promise, that sometimes these dark thoughts have to come out into the light. And so maybe you don't give yourself over to Jesus because that terrifies you. Simeon's promises may seem like too high of a price for peace. And so, like, that is a question, right? Like, where did Simeon find peace in these words? Because Simeon had peace. And he knew all of these things. Like, he heard these words in all of their import. Where did Simeon find peace? Simeon found peace as he held Jesus in his arms. He was guided by the Holy Spirit, and he held tight to the person of Jesus Christ. And he said, now I may be dismissed in peace, for I have seen your salvation. If you're afraid of Jesus, it's because you're not holding on to him. If you're afraid of Jesus and the salvation of God, it's because you're not holding him tightly in your arms. Jesus does, in fact, reorder the world. But Jesus reorders the world because it's out of order, because it's broken, because things aren't where they should be, and things can be better than they are. And if your position is higher than it ought to be, it will change. And if your position is lower than it ought to be, it will change. But don't we want things to be right? Or even better, like maybe when we are holding tightly to the person of Jesus Christ, we stop thinking about our position at all. Maybe we start thinking about Jesus. Think about standing in the presence. So think about standing in the presence of the most fun and most interesting and most caring person to live, ever to live. A person who sees the world clearly and talks with a knowledge that you just know is right. And he's still light enough on his feet to laugh and to make a good joke. And what if that person actually does have all of the power in the universe, and yet he doesn't seem untouchable, and he doesn't seem unwelcoming or inapproachable. Instead, he seems welcoming, if unwavering, and he gives you hugs, and he calls you his brother or his sister. Why would we climb into our own palaces that we have built for ourselves, pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps and pushing everyone else down so that we can get closer to the top? Why would we ever do that? If we knew from the outset that the top isn't where we expected it to be, what if the top is actually outside our gates, playing with children? What if the top is the person of Jesus Christ? And so we hold tight to him, because he's the peak that we've been running after all this time. You're not putting your position in danger. You're climbing, and you're tired of climbing, and you're going the wrong way. Because the top's actually down there. And why, if we are afraid of being opposed, some of us are so afraid of being opposed that we would rather be wrong than be right and face our friends who hate the thing that we know, the love that we know. Of course we're afraid of being opposed. We want to be held in high regard, and it's good to want to be held in high regard. We don't want people to think that we're weird or to think that we're weak. But what if those aren't the people whose opinion we will be hearing for the rest of eternity? If we are going to hear those voices for the next 60 years, but God's voice is going to echo throughout all of eternity, and we're going to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," echoed in our ears for all of eternity, or we're going to hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you," echoed in our ears for all of eternity, then who do we cling close to? If you're afraid of the rejection of the people that you know and love, it's because you're not clinging closely to the person of Jesus Christ. Because if he's right there in front of you in your arms, then he'll be whispering in your ear the confirmation that you need. And his whisper, when he's that close to you, will be loud enough to drown out all of the shouts of everyone else. And what? Are you afraid of the darkness of your heart being exposed? It will be pulled out. It will be exposed. It will be pulled out, and it will be destroyed. Slowly and painfully. But doesn't it cause you pain as it is? Like, are you afraid of the pain of, exposing those that darkness. But doesn't it cause you pain where it is right now, hidden in your heart? Isn't it killing you? Isn't it ruining your friendships, and isn't it keeping you from ever having that peace that you long for? There are those that are going to look at you in disgust when they see the darkness that is pulled out of you. But not all of us. In fact, most of us will not look at you in disgust. Most of us will look at you and say, whatever darkness you have in you, it cannot be darker than mine. And Christ took it all the same. He took it and he died with it and it killed him, but he destroyed it and then he lived again, and I can too. And I can live again without that darkness in me. And isn't that an incredible thought? That I can have life that isn't dragged down by that pain and that suffering and the hatred that is in me. No darkness needs to live, but it does need to come out and die. That is the salvation of God. That is the terrifying peace of God. Holding close to the person of Jesus Christ means being overwhelmed with a love that casts out fear. Simeon could rest in peace because God's salvation was enough. Enough for Israel, enough for everyone. We're going to come to close, and as we do, I want us to dwell on what I think might be my favorite line in Simeon's song. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all of the nations. I love that. God's salvation is here, and God has been preparing it since the world was broken. God began preparing it, and he hasn't been back in his workshop preparing it with a grin on his face, wrapping it up, saying, I can't wait for them to unwrap this. God has been preparing it right out in the open, right out in the sight of all the nations. And we're in the middle of the Christmas season, and every light and every trinket and every bauble points back to this salvation that God has made apparent to us. In the sight of all of the nations, God loved the world, and he saw that it was broken. And so Jesus, who was God, became man and stepped into the world as a baby. And he grew up. And he ate, and he taught, and he loved, and he was rejected, and he was hated, and he was killed. And he, though he had never sinned, was crucified on a cross and died and was buried. And on the third day, he rose again in the sight of all of the nations. It's not hidden, and we have no excuses, because we can all see it. We can all see it hanging there on the cross, and we can all see him as he ascended back into heaven. And the role of law, the way that things are in Jesus' kingdom is different. It's different, and it's going to cost us things, and it's going to change the way that we see the world, and it's going to change our place in the world. And I think we should be okay with that. I don't think that's really a cost at all, because I think that the way that the world goes right now doesn't work that well. I think the rules that we have lived by our whole lives, the rules that this world teaches us, I think they don't work that well. So Jesus' rule is different, and his kingdom knows peace, and it knows rest.
Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit our website at tfreechurch.org to listen to our regular podcast and find out more about all that is T Free Church.